1 Peter 3:8-12. Now to sum up, all of you be like-minded, sympathetic, brotherly, tender-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ear attends to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. In our last study, we saw that the address to all of you makes these instructions specifically directed to the chosen and elect people of God. See verses 1 and 2 of chapter 1 of 1 Peter. In verse 8, we learned the commands regarding what kind of people the elect are to be amongst themselves: like-minded, sympathetic, brotherly, tender-hearted, and humble in spirit. As we continue our study with verse 9, we see how our Lord gives specific examples of how he expects his children to live out this devotion and mutual submission to one another, as well as to all people. First, we learn of a command of what we are not to do. We are not to return evil for evil or reviling for reviling. Here is the verb returning, or apodidomai in the original language. This is a word that can also be translated to pay back or to repay. One lexicon defines apodidomai with to render what is due. This idea in our day fits the statement, I'm going to give them what they deserve. However, here we must remember that the verb is negated. That is, we are taught here not to give people what they deserve or what is due them. However, the meaning here does not apply to paying someone what is owed to them in the financial realm. See also Romans 13:7. Instead, the restriction is specifically applied to paying back a wrong for a wrong. Some might call this revenge. However, others might call it justice. This restriction on the life of the true believer then brings to us an apparent contradiction, because in Scripture, God calls us to seek justice, and yet in our text here, we are not to seek justice at the same time. See the apparent contradiction? This illustrates how important it is to be a student of the Word of God. This apparent contradiction is resolved by studying the differences between the affirmation and the condemnation of justice. God's affirmation of justice is given regarding that of governance. For those in charge, it is both unjust and unrighteous to pervert or prevent justice. In other words, if someone in authority can bring about righteous justice, it is wickedness not to do so. So the difference is found in who and how justice is brought about. God is for due justice given from those who are appointed to render it. However, the Lord is against anyone bringing about personal justice on their own behalf. He commands us not to bring justice on others when it is on our own behalf and when we have not been appointed with authority to render it. If we have authority and we are wronged, it is most biblical for another in authority then to render judgment and justice to remove all bias. So in our verse, 1 Peter 3:9, the difference is that God restricts us from paying back evil and reviling done to us. But he does not restrict the courts or our land or the elders of the church from administering righteous judgment and biblical consequences. In other words, personal payback of wrongs and retribution are always against the will of God. Now, regarding evil for evil, the original word for evil carries the idea of moral wrong, but it also carries the idea of injury and harm. Those who are truly saved, who have been chosen by God before the foundations of the world, are never to return a wrong or to bring vengeance of a wrong done to them, especially from a brother or sister in the Lord, as we saw previously. They are never to repay an injury or hurt with an injury or hurt. This is a difficult thing because our fleshly anger easily arises in us when we perceive a wrong done to us. Righteous anger is godly and is a good protection against wrongs done to others. Like how seeing a child abducted better make us angry and cause us to do all that we can do to stop it. Or if we see someone about to get murdered or any other vile sin, the greater the wrong, the greater the anger, the greater the action. However, we must remember that Scripture teaches us the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Why? Because our anger will always be tainted by sin. It will never be a perfect and righteous anger. It is never perfectly holy in its response. because our perception of wrongs is never through the lens of knowing all things. However, even if we could render perfect justice, God restricts us from administering it when we are the ones personally wronged. So the true believer must repent of such personal retribution. He must never take his own vengeance, but leave room for the wrath of God. As it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. See Romans 12:19. Now, to speak of reviling for reviling, as has already been said, our fleshly anger causes us to respond in personal vengeance, though we are commanded not to do this very thing in Scripture. And now the Lord applies this specifically to reviling. This is the Greek word loidorai, which is slander, insult, or abusive speech. The restriction is no different here than the restriction from paying back evil for evil. However, here we have a pointed example. Though someone speaks ill of us, we must not speak ill of them. Though people insult or speak to us in an abusive way, we are not to attack back. As the Lord teaches, when we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. See 1 Corinthians 4:12. Again, we must be honest with ourselves. This is difficult, as our anger teaches us in the moment that the best defense is a strong offense, so that when we are insulted or slandered, we respond in kind, but often even stronger. As if beating up those who beat us up will bring about a godly win as long as we hit harder. This is not to be the way of the people of God who walk in his paths. Instead, they're to give a blessing instead. Second, now, after learning the command of what we are not to do, we are now taught what we are to do instead. Now we see how far these commands of descriptions of God's elect extend into our daily lives. Remember that we are talking about the like-minded people who are chosen of God, so that if another child of God does evil to their brother or sister in the Lord, evil's not to be returned, but a blessing giving instead. We may ask, why would a brother harm a brother? Sadly, it happens because we still have sin. Sadly, it is often not worked through righteously by either party. So how can we glorify God and not allow such disobedience to be at work among God's people? Well, God provides the way. We are to return a blessing for all evil and all slander instead of dealing out our own personal justice. So let's look at the word blessing. So the original word for blessing is related to our English word eulogize. Eulogeo is the combination of the Greek word eus, meaning good, and logos, meaning word. In other words, the Lord commands his people here to speak good words of those who speak bad of them. How tempting it is in the flesh to slander and tear down those who do the same to us. Sadly, that's all too common of a practice among those who claim the name of Christ. And here we learn it's never to be this way. In other words, the elect of God are never to revile those who revile. Instead, we must speak well to them and of them. And now we read of why this is to be so. For, verse 9 ends, you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. So third, we are taught here of why we are not to pay back people for wrongs and why we are to bless and speak well of others who slander us. In short, it's for the purpose of a blessing. This idea of an inheritance is our purpose, and it causes us to respond in merciful godliness in two ways. First, we give mercy and grace because we receive mercy and grace. In other words, those who are elect of God will not get what they deserve. That is, God will not pay back evil for those who have true faith. Instead, God came down as a man and took their place. He took what was deserved of their wrongs upon himself, and he didn't deserve it. So that when those he has shown mercy to experience wrongs, evils, and slanders and abuses from others, they are to respond in the same way that God has responded to them. They are to give the offender both grace and godliness in return for evil. Think about it. As the elect, we deserve the torments and punishments of hell right now. Yet by God's grace, we have not and will not receive that justice that is owed to us. In the same way, we should personally not give others what they deserve. But as far as we are concerned of ourselves, we should give grace. Remember again that this is on a person-to-person level. This does not remove the obligation of justice among the believers within the church as Jesus taught in Matthew 18:18-22. And yet even in that context, as Jesus speaks of church discipline, he speaks of mercy in the very next lesson. He teaches of a slave that is forgiven with mercy, not giving mercy and forgiveness to his fellow slave. And the horrific result of such personal vengeance in that text is the picture of hell. See Matthew 18:23 through 35. So, if you have truly been given mercy from God, you must give mercy to others. Yet, this will be a struggle at times, and we all need to grow in holiness in the area. Yet, we ought to repent today and begin to live in righteousness by extending undeserved goodness to those who do us no good. The second very purpose that you might inherit a blessing is found in storing up treasure in heaven. In other words, if we pay back people for wronging us in this age, if we can even do this without bias and with true justice, we then receive our reward for the wrong that's been done against us. In other words, justice is the reward. However, if we do not receive the reward of justice here and instead obey the holy word of our sovereign Lord by returning evil with good, we will receive a reward from him in eternity. Obviously, this isn't as simple to live out as it is to hear and agree with. Yet isn't the blessing of our eternal inheritance worth suffering for? We may struggle to think it is worth suffering when we are wronged here, yet when we enter into eternity, we will have no regrets for all the wrongs we endured with godly and good responses. In other words, we were called for the purpose of enduring in this life so that we might glorify our Savior and Lord all the more in the next. That is, when we are wronged here and respond rightly, we will receive eternal blessings. How do you respond when someone wrongs you in word and deed? How often do you let your anger lead you to bring about your own personal justice? Let's repent today. Let's memorize these verses to hide God's word in our hearts so that we do not sin against him. Now, obediently, let's do good to those who do us wrong. Let's speak well to those who speak ill of us. Jesus gave us a great example of this when he went to the cross and didn't give his persecutors and those who slandered him what they deserved. Instead, what did he pray? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And he taught us to bless those who wrong us in the same way, even with prayer. Let's pray. Father, I give you great thanks and praise that you have not given me the wrath and punishment that I deserve. Not that I have done a single thing to pay for my sin, but incomprehensibly you sent your son to receive my punishment. This gift of absolute mercy and grace reveals to me the unending glory you deserve. I confess I have failed to give you that glory. I have not given others the undeserved mercy and grace that you have given me. I confess I have tried to give others what I think they deserve. I confess I have wronged others who have wronged me. I've spoken ill of others who have spoken ill of me. So forgive me because of your Son, my dear Savior and Lord. Wash me of the insolence of my disobedience. Make sin utterly sinful to me. And now with the power of your grace and mercy for me, and with the strength your word gives me, make the words that come from my mouth, the thoughts I think in my heart and mind never reflect what someone may deserve. Transform me through your word so that my soul will only reflect your grace and mercy to those around me. In this way, cause me to live a holy life, wholly and completely for you and your glory alone. Amen.